Good evening.
That was worse than last week. I think two of you said hello. Good evening, folks. There we go. That's better. There it is. Okay, we're up and running now. Grateful, again, to be able to be here with you all. We got a good number of people here tonight. It's nice to see that it doesn't take much pleading anymore to bring people down to the front. I'm grateful for that. So we're getting used to it. How many times do you have to do something before it's a habit? What's the number? Do you remember? 21 times, Ruth says. All right, so we probably have a few more weeks to go, but we can keep on working and we'll get it one of these days. So thank you guys for being here. For our evening, we're going to do something a little bit similar to what we did last week, in that we're going to do a continuation of our morning thoughts. We spent our time, of course, this morning dealing with the idea of an attitude of praise and the invitation to sort of recall and to sort of examine self and to look at life and to look at around and to be able to step back and to be able to say, my life needs to be one which exhibits praise at all times, is where we finished, right? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. That's where we finished. Tonight, we're going to take a few minutes and just meditate on something that will challenge us to do that, to step back and to examine our God and to examine ourselves and to recall where we have been and to recall His mercy and to recall a lot of the things that we mentioned this morning. And we're going to do that in song. And we did it last week, and since I get to speak 2 weeks in a row, it worked well last week, and we have something else to do tonight. So last week we studied the song, Abide With Me. Tonight we're going to study a song which builds on what we did this morning, and we're going to sing together. John's going to lead us, and we're going to sing, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, together, and then we're going to read through it, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. So John, let's sing together.
Number 500. O Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore Thee, may I still Thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I've come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Never let me wander from Thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
Thank you. Thank you, John. So one of the things that we do to begin with, and we mentioned last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, to be able to sing with the understanding and to sing with the spirit, both of those things. One of our old friends, and many of you know, Willie Franklin used to, in his own particular way, would say that it's not only possible to tell a lie, but it's also possible to sing one as well. And so one of those things is in to make sure that when we sing and then when we are expressing these thoughts, that we do things these things with honesty, and that we understand what we're saying and that we understand what we're trying to communicate when we express these things in song together. Let's ask a couple questions or let's read the verses first. Sorry. It helps sometimes to read them and not just singing them. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me always or ever to adore thee, and may I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, and hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when I was a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, and he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take it, seal it, and seal it for thy courts above. It's beautiful poetry when you stop and just read it in the way it is. Let's ask a couple questions that we started with last week that are important if we're going to understand what we're doing. Who are we addressing in this song? This is a song addressed to God, right? This is not a song that's for one another. And sometimes we sing songs and encourage one another, although it does all of those things directly. This is a song between an individual and his God or her God. It's a song that says, you are the fount of all blessings. Tune my heart to sing your grace, right? This is a song to God. This is the little more challenging one. What type of song, I need your participation again, what type of song is this to you? Categorize it for me and tell me what are the things, what are the motives, what's the mood of this song? What type of song is it, do you think? A song what?
Praise.
A song of praise, good, which is one where we're building off of this morning. A song of praise, good. What else? Sorry, what? A song of thanksgiving. Good. So we've got praise and we have thanksgiving. What else? Dennis. Over what? Recognition of our source of life. Good. Good, good. Somebody sent some over here. A request. All right. So we've got song. There's lots of things. All of these things are true. Lots of things. We've got songs of praise and of thanksgiving and of requests and a recognition that sort of combined with praise that we have a great source of life of all things. What else? How would you categorize it? What's the mood of this song? What type of song is it? Okay, it's a happy song in some ways, right? I think there's, again, sort of like last week, and last week was a very serious kind of Abide With Me is a song that's very sort of one tone, that we have this expression. This song has lots of different notes in it, right? A song of happiness and expressions of joy that the presence of God, and it's also got some of difficulties and admissions and confessions and sorts of things, right? Somebody else, anybody, what kind of a song is it, do you think? What? Sincere, right? So this is one of those songs that, and that's a good thing to say, a song like this without sincerity doesn't mean anything. Because this is one of those songs that, in the actually the author of the song, Mr. Richardson, I believe was his name, in some sense all songs are a little bit autobiographical for the authors who write them. In some sense they're always something that they're going through. This song is particularly detailed of his own situation to say, this is my situation, and this is a very, very personal song from him to express what he's going through, which gives voice to all of our songs, because his situation is oftentimes our situation. It's a very sincere and very personal song. It's an important thing to think about. Anybody else? What? Thoughtful. All right, so we can maybe combine that with sincerity, that it is a song that's not simple. It's simple in many ways, right? The words, there are some difficult words in it to be able to understand it, but thoughtful of, it's one that requires us to, what were you going to say? Right, so good. So what we have is all the steps that are thought of along the way. And this song, we're going to approach it as sort of a progression. When you sing from verse 1 to verse 2, you get the prize. Good job, John. Verses 1, 2, and 3 are sort of the progression along the way. Yes, Jerry. Chase, I'm sorry. To satisfy the heart, it's a wonderful observation. So the song which expresses this sort of, and by the time we get to the end, that's what it is. It is a progression along kind of a journey of faith to get to the end, to be satisfied in the presence of a God who gives him that. Good, very nice. So it's this type of a song. What's the message of the song? So different question, maybe a little bit of overlap, but it's a song of you know, praise and of thanksgiving and thoughtfulness and all those kinds of things. Put the three verses together. Tell me the story or the message of the song in one, just in a quick sentence. What? Okay, a request. This is a request from beginning to end, a request from God for something that we'll talk about. What else? Relationship, okay. So a relationship along the way. From beginning, we're like this progressive idea. Good. What else? What's the message of the song that when we finish, we're going to communicate? What's that? Hope, right? It ends in that way, right? To be able to last, what's the last phrase, right? Seal it for thy courts above. That's a hopeful message, isn't it? That we're looking for something beyond that we're looking forward to, right? What's the message of the song? Sorry? Adoration, right? So it is a song which begins by saying, you are the source of everything. And Dennis said, you are the source of life, the fount of every blessing. Help me to recognize that. Right? Tune my heart to sing thy grace. It's a song of adoration. Good. Anybody else? Chase again. No, Chase. A song of blessing. Absolutely. It's a song that we would, a blessing of God, to say we're going to sing to bless the Lord, but also a song of that blesses other people, for people who identify with it, and for people who can identify with the writer's expression along the way. Very good. David, did you say something? We're going to get there. We'll be there, I promise. So, all important things to do anytime we sing and anytime we sit down and understand what we're trying to communicate to the Lord. Let's work through just a little bit. So what I have done in my mind is to help help walk our way through this. I've called this a song of recognition, to recognize certain things along the way, and I hope we'll be able to communicate. Just all three verses I've assigned the word to recognize that there are certain things that are true and to recognize that there are certain realities that the author has to deal with, and the song is sort of a response to those things. So think with me, to sing truthfully and honestly. Let's look at a couple of these things. First of all, from verse 1 again, there we go. A song of recognition or realization. That's supposed to say realization. Recognition or realization, both of those things. To realize his own state. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. It's a song, the message sort of the first verse is, in my mind when I read it, is the person who comes to realize, as Dennis said, where the source of all life really comes from. A person who has stepped back and said, I'm looking around and now I know. I've come to grips with the fact that you are the source of everything. You are the fountain from which all blessings flow. And what this does is ask me to, and the request from that is, you are the source of all things. And so my request for you is to tune my heart to sing thy grace. To do what we've done this morning, do what we talked about this morning. To look around and to say, turn my heart so that it is set toward praising and acknowledging you. I know that you are the fount of everything. I know that all things come from you. Now set my heart so that it is tuned to be able to sing your grace. Tune my heart to sing your grace. And then he stops and says things like, streams of mercy, ever flowing, right? Streams of mercy never ever ceasing, demands songs of loudest praise. If I would stop and do the things that we have done. So there's a great psalm in Psalm 18, in which it's the psalm from which we get our song, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, right? And so shall I be saved from my enemies. It's the song from there. It's a song of a psalm that David steps back and does this thing where he steps back and says, I'm looking around and I see what you have done, and I see that you are the source of power, and I recognize I have come to grips with it, and I have realized it, and so now I'm looking, and now it demands praise from my soul. I look at this mercy which never ceases, and I am amazed by it, and it demands right now that my soul pour forth praise. Call for songs of loudest praise. The second part, teach me always to adore thee. Teach me ever to adore thee. And may I still thy goodness prove. Teach me, right? This is the request. Help me, teach me to love. Teach me to love you. That's a strange request, isn't it? If you think about it. Teach me to love you. That's a weird thing to say to somebody. If you told your wife, teach me how to love you, that would be a strange request, right, to tell your spouse. But this is the request of the writer. To look at, and it's a recognition of things we talked about in our Bible class this morning. Do you remember the story of the man who brings his son, who is demon possessed, and he brings his son to the disciples because he's come and he said, this Jesus and his disciples is the only place I can find help for my son. And he brings him to the disciples, and what do the disciples do? They fail miserably, right? And they don't help him at all. And he's worse off in the end because he's discouraged now. And Jesus comes down from the mountain, and the man hits the ground and just pours out himself. Do you remember what he says to Jesus? He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's a strange thing to say, right? I believe in you, I think. And in my mind, in my own words, I think to myself, I believe, I hope, kind of, I'm struggling, I think I believe, I hope, I know, help me where I'm falling short. Help me fix what I'm lacking. Help me overcome what's holding me back. Teach me to love you. Teach me to adore you. It's the song of it's the words of that says, I want to, I'm not sure I know how. I know that you're the source of everything. I want to express that praise. I'm failing to be able to express that. Everyone's been in that spot at some point, haven't we? To not be able to really communicate it in the way that we want. Teach me ever to adore thee, right? And may I still thy goodness prove. In other words, I will be constantly learning to love you in this process. And as we do, thy goodness is always revealed to me, and I will always be recognized. May I still thy goodness prove all along the way, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Do you see in this beginning part the maybe a beginning faith, a sort of a recognition of an early believer in trying to come to grips with God as the fount of all blessing, and God as someone who needs to be loved and desires to be loved, but not knowing how to exactly do that, and then to be able to say, while I'm doing this, I'm recognizing thy goodness, and I'm working along the way, keep filling my heart with joy and with love. That's the process of growth in faith, isn't it? Isn't that the way it works? While we grow, we're constantly encouraged and built up by the body and by our Lord as we're growing along this process. That's what the author says. If you go back and you read the story, the author is a man who lost his father when he was 8 years old, and his mother, not knowing what to do, sent him to be an apprentice in the 1700s to London, sent him to London to be an apprentice. And he left his job as an apprentice after a few years and got in with the wrong crowd and basically joined, in his words, a gang of hoodlums, and where he spent his time in London living a debaucherous life for several years, and became acquainted with the preachings of the great sort of revival preacher George Whitfield, and became a Christian and became a believer in the Lord, and eventually turned to become a preacher. And as he got his first job and appointment in ministry, in his first year of ministry, he sat down to write this song in thanksgiving for God's direction in bringing him out of a sinful life, from someone who has said, "I realize that worldly living is not where grace comes from. It's not where fulfillment comes from. But you are the fount of all blessings. Help me to learn that. I believe, help my unbelief." That's an idea. Look at verse 2. So we have this recognition or realization that we've come to, that God is this fount of all things. But then he takes time to stop and recall and to look back and to say things like, "Here I raise my Ebenezer, and hither by thy help I've come." Right? We say that all the time, don't we? "Get me an Ebenezer here," right? That doesn't sound... Do we remember the story of the Ebenezer? Does anyone remember the story of the Ebenezer? The story of the Ebenezer comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7. And remember, it's when Samuel was appointed this great judge of Israel. And 1 Samuel, and Samuel becomes the judge, and they are constantly in fights with the local people and constantly in all of these problems. And God becomes their deliverer at some point, and they defeat the army. It's not the Amalekites, but the name has left me at the moment. They defeat one of the armies, and in celebration of that, Samuel gets a big giant stone, and they set it up. And they stand it up among the people, and they call it the Ebenezer. And they call it the Stone of Ebenezer, which means, if you read the footnotes at the bottom of your hymnal, in the bottom of the page, means what? Does anybody remember? Stone of Help. Right. It means, and we can read it, if I can, so you can get the passage. 1 Samuel chapter 7. So in 1 Samuel chapter 7, we're told, start in verse 11. "And the men of Israel went to war and went out from Mizpah, and they pursued the Philistines." That's what I'm looking for, not the Amalekites. "The Philistines, and they struck them as far as Bethkar. And Samuel took a stone, and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he called its name Ebenezer, because he said, 'Till now the Lord has helped us,' or 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" It's an expression of saying, up to this point, I recognize that we have come to where we are only because we have had the Lord's help. "It's by thy help I've come this far. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." And that's an expression of personal devotion as well. Right? It's one, I think of the Apostle Paul. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he writes about the resurrection and the gospel to begin with. It's a great resurrection chapter where he writes about the death and the burial and the resurrection, and then he lists all the people who have been witnesses to Jesus. And in about verse 8 he says, "And then last of all by me, who am the least of all the apostles, because I persecuted the church of God." And then he says, "But by the grace of God I have come to here." It's an expression of saying, I ain't here today unless I've been given some sort of grace and help to bring me to this point. And verse 2 of this song is that sentiment, that we have come where we are right now only because we've had a stone of help which has brought us this far. "Here I raise my Ebenezer, and it's hither by thy help I've come." And then he turns it forward and says, "But, and I hope, by your good pleasure, God, I'll have a home to arrive to later, safely to arrive at home." And this is the expression, I've come to here, and now I hope to go. And I'm going to do that only by your help. "Jesus sought me when I was a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. And to rescue me from danger, he interposed his precious blood." Just the expression that, and similar to what Romans chapter 5 would tell us, that while we were still sinners, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's an expression of saying, I know that I've come here only because of your help, and I hope to go home only because of your help, and I know that I'm only here because Jesus came to me and he sought me when I had no interest in him and shed his blood for me when I did not deserve it in the midst of this, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood, right? Wandering from the fold of God. It's a song, an expression of recollection. Think about the last one here. It's an expression of reliance. That we're going to stop and say, okay, now I recognize that from here on out, I am trusting in you, and I'm going to depend upon you. And I know that right now it's only through you, right? I'm going to be able to accomplish whatever life is going to allow me to accomplish. There are different, it's interesting. So does anybody ever, I'm curious to say, did anybody ever grow up singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? Anybody? Yeah, so sometimes. So in all the histories that I've read of this song, nobody can figure out where it turned from Come Thou Fount to Oh Thou Fount. It's over time, different hymnals published them different ways, different versions published different verses, different people changed different words. Over and over, it's the same author that's attributed to all of them, and the same tune is written by the same guy. Each hymnal has it listed in the same way, but Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing was the original version, and somehow over, the closest thing I would come was that shape note hymnals began calling it Oh Thou Fount of Every Blessing for some reason. But it's been changed dozens of times throughout the years. This is one of those places where the verses is different some, and maybe made to be a little more easy for people to understand of our day. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. It is an expression of saying, now I've come this far. And I stop and I look and I understand that to grace I am a debtor. That I owe a debt that I could never pay. And daily I am constrained to this. That word constrained, it's not a word that we use often. It's the word that means to be controlled or to be pressed in by. The verse of Scripture that uses that word that's most known is from 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 14, where Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me. And versions will say, controls me. The love of Christ controls me. And the old New English Bible says beautifully that the love of Christ leaves me no choice. The love of Christ leaves me no choice. In which we can stop and say, I look at my life and I am where I am because you have brought me thus far. And to that grace I will ever be constrained and I cannot go anywhere else. Let thy goodness, let your work, let who you are as a good and great God take my heart and bind it with a fetter. A fetter is just like a chain or things that they would use to bind arms to a wall, if you think of the dungeon. The fetter is a chain. Take my heart and bind it with a chain and with a clamp and don't let it go. Bind my heart like a fetter and bind my wandering heart to thee. Take my heart and chain it up to you so that I cannot go anywhere. Our version says, never let me wander from thee. The old Come Thou Fount says, prone to wander. Right? Lord, I feel thee. Right? Lord, I feel it. Right? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Right? Prone to leave the God I love, I think is the way that it says. Right? It's the expression of saying, I have a tendency to mess things up. I have a tendency, I am prone to turning my eyes from you and wandering away. And turning away from the God I love. This expression is, please don't let me wander from you. Please never let me leave you, the God I love. But in beautiful fashion, here's my heart. Take it from me. Seal it. And seal it for your courts above. Set your stamp of your seal on it. Set your stamp on it. Don't ever let it be taken away. Chain it up so that I will never leave you. Let me be controlled by you. Never let me leave. It's a song of request that says, I recognize who you are. You are the fountain of every blessing. I recognize I'm only here because you've brought me here. And I recognize that if I'm going to go see you one day, my heart needs to be set upon you. Tune my heart to sing your grace. Bind my heart to thee. It's a nice progression of faith that says, which basically, I guess, in the end, takes its stand and says, here I am. I'm coming to you. That's not a message that should be sung lightly, we might add. Right? This is a very, this is a thoughtful song, John mentioned. This is a song that's not lighthearted. It's a jovial sort of tune, and it has that mood to it, but it's a song that's a very serious expression of faith, a very serious expression of devotion that says, here I am. Take me. That's a big deal. That's a big message. I hope it's given you something to think about. If we think about it in terms of our what we talked about this morning, right? To be a person whose attitude needs to be bent and ready, and a life that's ready, to understand and recognize that God is waiting to be praised, and that's my responsibility as a human being. This song does exactly that, to set us before Him and say, here I am. If we have people here tonight, and maybe there's someone here who stands in that position in which we are willing and needing to say, I'm here, use me. I'm here, I need to do better. I'm here, I need to turn to you. Your church family is with us tonight, and we're here together, and we'd love to help you. We're going to sing a song of invitation, and if you're in this position in which we can say, here, Lord, use me, we'd love to help. Let's stand and sing. Would you come to the front and let your need be known?